of Egypt. So chapter 5, we find Moses and Aaron coming before Pharaoh seeking permission to lead the nation out of Egypt. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll pray. Exodus chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1 reads, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.' And they said, 'The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword.'" Let's bow for prayer. O God, we once again bow before you and ask that you would teach us, help us, give us understanding this morning. Help us to be more like our Saviour, we ask. And I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need. We ask in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So here in chapter 5, we find Moses and Aaron have come before Pharaoh. And we will note from chapters 5 all the way to chapter 10, the phrase, "Let my people go, let my people go, let my people go," some 9 times in chapters 5 to 10. With each time, Moses was careful to say that God is saying to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." So this command reveals that Israel is in bondage and God wants them to be free to worship and serve their God ultimately in the land of promise. So as we begin to study Exodus chapter 5, I'd like for us to note the fact that it wasn't straightforward. That's why 9 times it was said, "Let my people go." The title of my sermon this morning is, "When the going gets tough, the tough will keep going." When the going gets tough, the tough will keep going. And this is what we see within these chapters. Note there in verse number 2, Pharaoh asks the question, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go?" May I ask you a question this morning as a way of application? The condition of every person as a sinner, the condition of every person as a sinner, enslaved to sin, under the condemnation of sin, is in need of a Saviour. And we see within this request that Moses put before Pharaoh, Pharaoh responded by asking the question, "Who is the Lord?" Let me ask you this morning, do you know the Lord this morning? Do you know him? Do you know him personally? And Pharaoh asked the question, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let him go? Note the connection between knowing and obedience. If you know God, you'll obey him. So Pharaoh said, I'm not going to obey him because I don't know him. And just like God raised up Moses to lead Israel out of bondage, God the Father has raised up Jesus Christ, who wants to lead you and I out of the bondage and condemnation of sin. For John 3:36 reads, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, God's people were under condemnation there in Egypt, and they were in need of a deliverer. And my friend, may I submit to you that you and I are under the condemnation of sin, and we are in need of a deliverer. That deliverer is Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. And as John 3:18 reads, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So God raises up a man by the name of Moses to lead God's people out of physical bondage. And God the Father has surrendered God the Son to lead you and I out of spiritual bondage. And I invite you this morning, if you've yet to receive Jesus Christ as your own Savior, your deliverer from sin, I invite you to come to Christ and believe on him. Place your faith in him for your salvation alone, and he will deliver you. He will deliver you from the penalty of sin. He will release you from the power of sin, and praise God, one day we will be delivered from the very presence of sin. That's our hope as Bible-believing Christians. Now, in Moses leading the people of God out of Egypt, it was not straightforward. We read in verse number 1, a clear petition placed before Pharaoh. Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Moses was very careful to quote the words of God. Let my people go. So we read of a clear petition made before Pharaoh in verse number 1. And then from verses 2 all the way down to verse number 9, we note Pharaoh's response. And as we've already mentioned, in verses 2 and 3, Pharaoh asked the question, so who is the Lord that I should obey him? Pharaoh did not know the God of Israel. May I submit to you, the world does not know the God of Israel. The world needs to know about our God. And Pharaoh needed to be educated about the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. Who is the Lord that I should obey him, he said, that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? It's important that we bear in mind that within the day and within the Egyptian culture, the Egyptian way, Pharaoh was seen as a god, the god. He was recognized as God manifested. Now, they worshipped many gods, and we'll address that issue this evening. But Pharaoh, in his own right, was a god. So, Pharaoh, ask the question, who is the Lord? Beloved, we need to reveal God in this world. How do we reveal the God of the Bible? We need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We read in Ephesians 6:19, for me and for me, the Apostle Paul requested, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The Apostle Paul made such a request. Pray for me that I will with boldness make known the mystery, the unveiling of the gospel to a needy world. Who is the Lord? That's the question that needs to be answered today. Well, he is the Lord, our God, our Savior. He is the only Savior for mankind from sin. Jesus Christ is his name. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. Do you know the Lord this morning? Do you really know him? Do you know him personally as Savior? Or do you just have a head knowledge of him? My friend, there's a vast difference between a head knowledge and a heart knowledge. There'll be a lot of people in hell with a head knowledge of Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm convinced hell will be full of Sunday morning attendees of church. There's countless people are in church this morning. And just because they're in church, it doesn't mean they know the Lord. Do you know the Lord? Do you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? See, Pharaoh had enough sense about him that he made the statement, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? There's a connection between knowing and obedience. Let me ask you, what's your level of obedience? If it's zilch, I would ask the question, do you really know the Lord? Do you really know the Lord? See, Pharaoh had enough sense in him to connect knowing and doing. Knowing and doing. And then in verse number 3, we read that Moses and Aaron give Pharaoh a comprehensive understanding of their God. In the 3rd verse, he is our God, the God of the Hebrews. And the God, our God, the God of the Hebrews, he has met with us, Pharaoh, they said. And has told us to tell you, let us go. God wants us to worship him. Otherwise, God will judge, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. So Moses and Aaron give Pharaoh a comprehensive understanding of their God. He is our God, the God of the Hebrews. He wants our worship. And if we don't worship him, God will judge. So please, let us go. And then we read on from verse 4 onwards down to verse number 9. We note how Pharaoh responded to this request. Note then verse number 4, the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you under your burdens? We see here that Pharaoh hardens his heart, the first time which he hardens his heart, And note the harshness of how he responded to Moses and Aaron. And Pharaoh said in verse number 4, in essence, leave them alone. Moses and Aaron, leave them alone. And you go and take care of your business and let them take care of my business. And then in verse number 5, Pharaoh went on to say, in essence, there is a lot of work here to be done. And you want them to live in ease? So Pharaoh is very harsh with Moses and Aaron. Leave them alone. You go take care of your own business. Mind your own business, Moses and Aaron. I've got a lot of work that needs to be done around here. And you want them to relax? To just worship and not work? So Pharaoh is not impressed, to say the least. Then we find from verses 6 to 9 that Pharaoh commands his taskmasters to no longer provide straw for the Jewish people. So no longer was straw provided so that the Israelites could build bricks and build so many bricks per day. Pharaoh puts the squeeze on and he said, okay, no longer the provision of straw. They can collect their own straw, but I still want them to make the same amount of bricks per day. That's the essence of verses 6 down to verse number 9. Look at verse 9. Let there be more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. So Pharaoh is very harsh. Not only gives a straightforward rebuke to Moses and Aaron, mind your own business. I've got work for your people to do. Get out of here. And then he decides, okay, I'm going to make it even harder for God's people. No longer will we provide straw for the making of bricks. They can go out and collect their straw on their own and also make their bricks. So in essence, the Israelites were expected to do the impossible. The same quota of bricks were to be made. But practically it was impossible. Because they would waste so much time gathering straw that was mixed with the mud that would hold the bricks together. You needed the straw meshed in with the mud in order to keep the bricks together. Otherwise, they're just brittle. So that took the bulk of their time. And as a result, the Bible teaches us from verses 10 to 14 that the Israelites were beaten heavily for their inability to meet the demands. Look at verse number 13. The taskmaster hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw. So there was still the same expectation. These Egyptians were organized. They demanded that you'll make so many bricks per day. And that same demand was there, but they had the added time-consuming pressure of collecting their own straw. And then note then verse number 14, in the officers of the children of Israel, which Moses' taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? We see within this passage of Scripture what I call the death of a vision. I have no doubt in my mind that Moses and Aaron expected to simply go before Pharaoh, and because they spoke in the name of Almighty God, that Pharaoh would just say, okay, off you go. That's my inclination. I don't personally think they expected what has happened. I don't think they expected to be rebuked, let alone have the people of God treated more harshly. So we see here the death of a vision for the people of God. They thought they were being set free, but now they are experiencing greater oppression. And then we read on from verses 15 onwards. We answer the question, how did the Israelites respond to this severity? How do they respond to Pharaoh and this new severe expectation? Well, note then verse number 15, they cried unto Pharaoh, the Bible teaches us in verse 15. Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? They looked to Pharaoh for help instead of God. They appealed unto Pharaoh, but unfortunately we do not read they appealed unto God. Was it not God that promised to deliver them out of Egypt? And yet we see here in verse number 15 that the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh. And then verse number 16, there is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say unto us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten. But the fault is in thine own people. So this would imply that God's people were not warned in any way. It was just a matter of there was no straw. So they had to go out and look for their own straw. So the leadership said to Pharaoh, hey, we have been beaten severely, but it's not our fault. There's no straw, enough straw. So unfortunately, we see from verses 15 to 19 that God's people looked to Pharaoh instead of to God for deliverance. For was it not God that promised to deliver his people out of Egypt? See, back in the book of Genesis, chapter 50, at the end of that final chapter, God gave Joseph the assurance, there will come a day in which your people will leave Egypt and return to the promised land. And God always keeps his promises. God's people needed to look to God. And beloved, we need to look to God. In Psalm 33, verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we see that God's people appealed to Pharaoh instead of to God. And because Pharaoh wouldn't budge, then the leadership went to Moses and Aaron and said, this is all your fault that life has become more difficult for us. That's the essence of verses 20 down to verse number 23 of chapter 5 of Exodus. Verse 20 reads, and they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord took upon you and judge, because you have made our savour to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. So in other words, the leadership said to Moses and Aaron, if you had just left us alone, we wouldn't be in this situation. Our situation has progressed from bad to worse because of you, Moses, because of you, Aaron. So we see here, because they did not respond spiritually to the situation, life became even more difficult for God's people. And beloved, may I submit to you that if we don't choose to respond biblically in our times of difficulties, things will get harder. See, God's people should have appealed to their God, but they appealed to Pharaoh. To what avail? They should have appealed to God. And because this was their spirit, things got harder for them. They don't seek godly counsel. They appeal to Pharaoh. Because it's important that we bear in mind that it was God that promised deliverance. So really, they should have been appealing to God. Say, God, what's going on? To give Pharaoh due, at no point did he promise to provide deliverance. It was God that said, I'm going to deliver you. So we see that God's people, as we would say, they barked up the wrong tree. And they paid the price for it. And I think so often you and I, in our Christian walk, can be guilty of making things worse because we're barking up the wrong tree. We don't seek godly counsel. We do what we want to do. We don't rely upon God, we rely upon everybody else. We don't obey God, and we react as opposed to act biblically when the going gets tough. And my friend, this morning, when the going gets tough, the tough will keep going. This chapter, chapter 5, ends with a very discouraged leader in Moses. He's discouraged. Note that at the end of verse 22, he said, why is it that thou hast sent me? But let's note how he responds in chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. We see that Moses hears from God, and God gives Moses some assurance. Note there in chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3, the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he deliver them out of the land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. So Moses takes this problem to God, and God encourages him concerning the fact that I am eternal, I am almighty, I am powerful, and I can do what I said I am going to do. Because I am God Almighty. And then in verse number 4, note, and I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. So once again, God affirms his covenant, his contract, his promise that I'm going to lead you back into the land of Canaan. I am not only Almighty God, but I'm going to keep my covenant. And then note then verse number 5. His personal concern for God's people is spelled out. I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. So God reminds Moses, hey, I am Almighty God. I am eternal, I am all-powerful. And I promised you the land of Canaan. And I've heard the cry of your people. And then in verses 6 all the way down to verse number 8, God affirms his dependability, his faithfulness. Note then verse 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. You'll note in verses 7 and 8 the phrase, I will, I am, I will, I will. So God's faithfulness. And God said to Moses, Moses, you need to go back and remind God's your people, my people, to be God-focused. That God is eternal, God is all-powerful. God will keep his word. God loves his people, and God is totally dependable. See, beloved, how do we keep going when the going gets tough? We have a God focus. God encouraged Moses, you need to lead your people, my people, back to a focus upon the greatness of God. A God focus. That God is eternal. God is powerful. God will keep his promises. God loves his people. And God, Almighty God, is dependable. Great is thy faithfulness. And beloved, this morning, when the going gets tough, the tough will keep going if they will refocus upon the Lord. And this is the essence of chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. So Moses is all excited and he goes back to God's people and tells them exactly what God told them, told him to tell them. Look at verse 9. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel. But note their response, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. They rejected the words of Moses. They rejected the words of God. And note what the Lord said in verse number 10. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of the land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. God, they didn't listen to me. I reminded them that you are eternal. I reminded them that you are all powerful. I reminded you that you promised us the land of Canaan. I reminded them that you love us. And I stressed to them that you are dependable. But God, they didn't listen to me. As if God didn't know that. Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. Verse 12, how then shall Pharaoh hear me? If my own people won't listen to me, how can I expect Pharaoh to listen to me? And note the response in verse number 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. So what does God do with Moses here? Moses said to God, God, I told them, but they're not listening. And our God said to Moses and Aaron, in essence, go back to Pharaoh and make the request once again. Let my people go. Go back to Pharaoh and make that solemn request once again. God said, let my people go. When the going gets tough, the tough will keep going. When, number one, when they have a God focus. When things do not go our way. When Murphy's Law comes into play, and it does time and time again, does it not? When the going gets tough, the tough will keep going if they choose to focus upon God. That God is eternal, God is all-powerful, God keeps His promises, God loves me, and God is dependable. And with that, keep going. Keep obeying. Keep doing what you're meant to be doing. See, God had a calling upon Moses. God has a will for the Hebrew people. And with this initial blockage, it really makes no difference. Because the commission is still there. The mandate is still there. God still wants His people to leave Egypt and possess the land of Canaan. Nothing has changed. Even though circumstances were not ideal, God's people were struggling more so. And even though God provided some comfort for Moses, and Moses tried to relay that comfort to God's people, and even though they rejected that, God said to Moses and Aaron, get back to work. Go back to Pharaoh and tell him what I told you to tell him. Let my people go. We will see that God's purpose in allowing Pharaoh to oppress Israel was in order for God's power and glory to be magnified more so. And when God allows difficulties in your life and in my life, that could be the means by which God can manifest his power in a greater way and receive more glory. See, what will it take to stop you from doing what God has called you to do? Life is full of adversities. Nothing is straightforward. Have you noticed that? Nothing is straightforward. We rejoice when at a moment it actually just happens. But that's so rare, is it not? And Proverbs 24:10 reads, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And in 2 Corinthians 4:16, the Bible reads, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. See, God was still at work in the heart of Moses. God was still at work in the hearts of God's people. This obstacle is yet to be used of God for God to manifest his power in a greater way and receive more glory. So when the going gets tough, the tough will keep going. If, number one, there is a God focus. That's the essence of chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. And number two, when you and I determine to continue to obey God. See, God didn't say to Moses, okay, that didn't work. Just give me a day and I'll think of another strategy. No. God said to Moses, take Aaron, go back to Pharaoh, and tell him what I told you to tell him. Just get back to it. Just obey me. And beloved, you and I can keep going when times are tough by refocusing on the Lord and keep obeying God. But Pastor, it's not working. Keep doing it. Because God said it. Because God said it. So what does God do with Moses? Moses, get back to work. Make another appointment with Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. God said it. Obedience. And God will do the rest. So when the going gets tough, the tough will keep going. But only when there is a focus upon the Lord. We focus upon the Lord. We focus upon the fact that he is eternal. He is all-powerful. He has promised. He loves me. I can depend upon him. And with that focus upon the Lord, we obey. We keep doing what God has called us to do. See, God called Moses to lead the nation out of Israel. Out of Egypt. God called Moses to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And God has a calling upon your life and God has a calling upon my life. Yes, we will face adversity. We will face difficulties. We will face stumbling stones and walls and the rest. But let's keep our focus on the Lord. And let's continue to obey God. So when the going gets tough, you and I will keep going. Let's bow for prayer.